Well, I want to invite you, if you would, to reach for your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew is the first gospel you'll find in your New Testament, and if you'll go almost to the very end of that gospel, you'll find Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read the first six verses at the beginning of the message this morning, and as we read, I want to remind you, all of you, that it is our conviction that what we read is the very Word of God. What we read is God's Word that holy men of old wrote down as they were moved along or inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Scriptures that we read deserve our complete attention, our prayerful attention, not only here together this morning when we read, but wherever you read, in your study, in your quiet place. Please remember, this is God's Word that we read. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying." Every circumstance that is connected to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is deeply interesting to the Christian. It is very important to us. If one were to start at Bethlehem in the gospel record and go right on with Jesus all the way to Calvary, surely we would say that every step he took, he took along the path of glory. Every place where the Lord Jesus put his foot becomes, in a very real sense, sacred to us. When we come to Calvary, our interest as Christians surely begins to quicken. Our thoughts begin to center there on the misery, the agony, the suffering of our Savior. We're not able to turn away even when they take the body down. When Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus bring the bloody, beaten, now dead body of Jesus down off the cross and wrap it in linen cloth and put it in a borrowed tomb. This morning, on this Lord's Day, we're not going to go to the manger in Bethlehem. And we're not even going to go to the cross of Calvary. You know, we're going to go to that tomb. In our mind's eye, as we read these words, it's almost as if we're there. In our mind's eye, as the Spirit enlightens us, while we're not an active participant, it's as if we're there watching, looking in on these events. The invitation of the angel, we hear it there in verse 6. And in a sense, it becomes an invitation to us. Come. Come and see the place. So let's go this morning to that place. And let's look. It's the early morning. It's the day after the Sabbath. That means it's the day after Saturday. That means it's Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning early, just as the sun is rising. In fact, John tells us in his gospel that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and as we read the rest of the gospels, We have Salome, and there's a group of women, and they left when it was still dark. They had met somewhere together to plan to do what they're going to do, and it's still dark when they leave, and by the time they arrive on Sunday morning, the sun is just rising. And they arrive at the grave of Jesus. Now, we might ask a simple question: why would a group of women get together at night so they could leave so early? I mean, who gets up before dawn, right? Why would they do this? And then another voice here this morning might say, well, obviously, they got up early so that they could get to the tomb in time to see the resurrection. Well, that's just not true. They didn't get up early to see the resurrection, because none of the followers of Jesus, as far as we can tell in the gospel account, one of them was expecting to see Jesus rise from the dead. Even though he had told them, in fact, he had repeatedly told them, they didn't understand, we're told, what he told them. And because they didn't understand, they thought when they saw him die on that cross, that was the end of it. So these women were coming out early not to see a resurrection. They were coming out early to give honor to the dead. Just one more final act of devotion, an act of compassion. Mark tells us explicitly in his gospel why they came. They came to anoint the body with spices. You see, the Jews didn't embalm their dead. They just took the dead body, covered it up in spices and anointed it with oils, and then wrapped it up tightly in cloths and laid it in a grave. The body would begin to decay rapidly. The spices were only meant to obscure the smell if there were some days of mourning around that dead, decaying body. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken the body down, and some women were told, and surely some of these women were there, and they had hurriedly added some spices and wrapped him up to try to give him a fitting burial in a borrowed grave. They had to hurry. It was rushed because the Sabbath was coming. At sunset on that Friday after Jesus died, it was the Sabbath. They couldn't bury him on the Sabbath. But now Saturday is ending, and they come out to supply maybe a more fitting burial, one where they don't feel so rushed. And having brought the spices, they were undoubtedly planning to unwrap the body again and then to cover it again. And these women together to share there in grief again, to share in sorrow, to just spend some time at the grave of their beloved Jesus. So we're clear, they didn't come to see a resurrection. They've come to anoint a corpse. Some of you, I suspect many of you, have made similar trips to a grave, not to anoint a corpse, but just to be there. To honor, maybe. To remember. And to grieve. And that's the scene. At least that's how it begins. And then Matthew tells us that apparently along the way, or even right at that moment, there was an earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended and rolled away the stone and is sitting there now on top of the stone. And he gives us insight into his appearance. A dazzling appearance. Bright, shining like lightning. Clothing as white as snow, we're told. And Matthew, and really this is at the heart of Matthew's account. Each gospel record gives a different perspective, and what Matthew focuses on, if we could take the time to study it all, is he gives us the emotion of it all. Right there in verse 4, we're told that the guards shook because of fear of the angel, and they became like dead men. Now it's to that scene that these women arrive. And the fear of the guards, we're now told, is a fear that these women share. We know that because the angel speaks to the women and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, let me just mark this for you. The message is not, hey, ladies, really? Emotional? That's not the message. The message isn't, this is not a time to be emotional. No, the message is, the emotion of fear should not at this time overwhelm you or rob you of an emotion that is far more fitting for a time like this. Now, that's my paraphrase of what was wrapped up when they said, don't be afraid. I want to repeat that. The message is that the emotion of fear should not overwhelm you or rob you of an emotion far more fitting for a time like this. More on that in a minute. But for now, the angel again, notice what he says. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for God, very God. You're looking for the God of heaven who left the throne of heaven, humbling himself, even taking on the form of a man, who was born to the Virgin Mary, who lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father, and who taught like no man ever taught and worked miracles like no man ever wrought. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for the innocent man who is convicted yet to die. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking for that man who was crucified on Friday. I know that's who you're looking for. But, the angel said, he's not here. He came. He lived. He died. He was crucified, but he is not here. He hasn't been stolen by some grave robbers. He hasn't faked to death and now he's simply walked off into the sunset. No, he was dead. He was crucified, and now he is not here because he is risen. He is alive, the angel said, just like he said he would be alive. He had said that. He had told his followers, as I said, again and again, more than once, this is what's about to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the religious leaders are going to persecute me and prosecute me and ultimately execute me. But on the third day, he had told them, I will be raised up. But yet here they are on the third day as you follow the calendar of the sunset to sunrise. And the angel reminds them, this has happened just exactly as Jesus told you this would happen. He is not here. He is risen. Come, the angel says, see the place. It's an invitation. The place where he was lying. Come, the angel says, take a closer look. This emotion, this fear is robbing you of a greater emotion, of a more fitting emotion. So let me help you, the angel says. Come and see, come and take a closer look. Now, friends, I want to just tell you, there is wisdom in the counsel of this angel. Because I know that this angel is here with heavenly credentials, I would simply say this, there is divine wisdom that's offered to us in these simple words from this angel. Here's the wisdom as I would capture it. When you face a fearful situation in your life, look closer. When you face a situation that seeks to overwhelm you, to paralyze you in the fear of it all, look closer. Take a closer look. Because if you'll look closer as a child of God, you will find that God has gone before you into that scary place. You'll find that God is with you, and you'll find, if you'll look closer, that you have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. You'll find, as a child of God, that wherever danger lurks, wherever pain assails, all of that is designed by your loving Heavenly Father to produce in you a strength and a hope, and we're told, a joy. But you'll have to look closer when that fear surrounds you. And really, for the Christian, there's no better place to look always than right here at the grave of Jesus. Come, the angel says, when you're afraid, take a closer look. Come and see the place. And when you come and see the place, listen, see him not there. He's not there. Come to the grave of Jesus when you're in that fearful place and find that he is risen. Look closely, the angel said. He's gone. Look closely. He's gone exactly as he said he would be gone, because he has risen from the dead. And that means, listen, that means that whatever else he said, you can count on, which includes things like, fear not, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Come to the grave and see exactly what he said. He is not there. And then when you face that fearful situation, remember what else he said. I'm right there. I'm right there. Come look closer, the angel says, and you will see what the psalmist David saw. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Come and look closer. Come see the place, the angel says. And you'll find comfort for dark days. You'll find peace for times of despair. Just come back to this place. Christian, just keep coming back to this place. What place? This place. This grave. And be reminded that he isn't there. Well, apparently they went and looked, though Matthew doesn't record it. But what he does record, because this is his focus, is the emotions. And now an emotional transition begins to take place. The angel says in verse 7, go quickly. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Behold, I've told you. And they left the tomb quickly, just exactly as he had said, go quickly. They left the tomb quickly, watch, with these emotions, with fear and great joy. And they ran to report it to the disciples. It's interesting, I think, and maybe you'll agree, what the angel didn't say. The angel didn't say, come, see the place. And then I'm just going to leave you there a bit. In fact, you may want to just spend some time there. I'll leave you alone. Come see the grave and you know, just take some time to think it all through. Work out your grief. Get yourselves together. He didn't say that. And I think there's a reason why he didn't say that. The empty grave, it seems to me, is the place to come and see, but it isn't the place to linger. It's where we go to get our bearings when life becomes fearful, to remind ourselves of the truth that he was in fact raised from the dead. But an empty grave is no place for a Christian to linger. So the angel says, go quickly. Now you can search it out for yourself. I would suggest you do that this afternoon. The gospel accounts of the resurrection are pretty brief. All four of them record an account. Different characters are involved. And in every case, whether it's these ladies or whether it's Peter and John, in every case, they don't linger there. They go quickly. They are told to go quickly. That has to be important. I think it's important. There's a pace to all of this that's unavoidable as you read the gospel accounts. The hurriedness of it all. Come and see where he was and then leave. Don't linger there. Because listen, Christians face death, don't we? Some of you here this morning, you face death this year. And the Bible says that when we face death, in a sense we face death like everybody else faces death, we grieve. But the Bible also teaches us that as Christians we don't grieve like the world grieves. We don't grieve as people who have no hope. And that, I think, is illustrated here, even at the grave of Jesus, by all the accounts that we have of these who visited the empty grave of Jesus. They don't linger over the grave. They don't linger over death because there's no life in that. There's no life there. Do you get that? Some of us this morning, Christians, we need to get that. We don't linger over death like people who have no hope. We can come to the grave and we can experience the emotion of grief, but we don't linger there because there's no life there. The life has left the grave. The life is gone. If they're a believer, they're absent from the body. They're present with the Lord. And the Christian begins to transition from grief and fear to joy, not by lingering over the grave, but by leaving the grave and sharing the good news of the resurrection. That's what the angel tells these women to do. Don't linger here. There's no life here. There's only fear and death here. You need to move on and declare that Jesus is alive. And there you'll begin to see, notice what you'll begin to see. You'll begin to see your fear transition. Fear transition. They're humans. They're frail humans. It's not an immediate thing. But you can see it in the text. There's a transition taking place. There's fear now transitioning to great joy. But at this point, as they leave hurriedly, it's commingled together. A little joy, a little fear. A little fear, a lot of joy. That's the idea. This is their overcoming fear with joy, and I might say, why is it a transition? Why isn't it immediate? And here's the answer. Because they saw only where Jesus wasn't. That's all they have. All they have at this point to go on is where he wasn't. Come to the place where he was, the angel said. And your fear, knowing that he's not there anymore, can begin to subside because he's not there like he said he wouldn't be there. But at the end of the day, listen, if all you have is an empty grave, that's not enough. It's not enough. I think we need to notice the normal reaction of these women and then understand it's our normal reaction too. If all we ever saw was where he wasn't, if all we ever knew was that he wasn't there, little help that's going to be when real fear comes. Little help that's going to be when life rushes in. So now Matthew tells us they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they're running to report it to the disciples, and behold, Jesus met them. Jesus met them and greeted them. And then they came up and took hold of his feet. They fell at his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. And there they will see me." This fear mixed with joy because they saw where he wasn't is now a fear that will be overcome with joy because they see where he is. He meets them. He greets them. And they fall at his feet. And then Jesus says what? Enough of the fear. Enough of it. I was not in the grave. I was not there because I said I would not be there because I told you I would be raised. I was not there. Listen, I was not there so I could be here with you. Right here, right now, ladies, where you need me most. That's why I wasn't there. I wasn't there so I could be here. And I'll just tell you, in that little bitty illustration, picture, narrative, is the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Jesus who lived, a Jesus who the angel said was crucified, a Jesus who was raised from the dead, come to the place, see Him not there. That's the gospel. That's the glorious gospel of the risen Christ. But I submit to you, if that's all the gospel we had, it's not enough. There's a lot of fear in our daily lives. This is a scary planet to live on. There is an awful lot of anxiety and stress that can invade. Life is hard. Pain is real. And it is more real, I will tell you, it is more real than a visit to a place where He wasn't will overcome. But that's not the end of the gospel story that's in this account. The end of the story is come, see the place where He is not risen, and then realize the fear will not subside until you realize He is right there. He is there, right here. He is here in your life and in my life. That's when the gospel takes on a power. Don't be afraid, Jesus said. I'm not there. I'm here. And because I'm here, you don't have to be afraid. Because He's here this morning. You don't have to be afraid. And that's really all I have for you this Resurrection Sunday. Come see the place. Come see where the crucified Jesus was laying and see Him not there. That's a cause for rejoicing and a cause for excitement. He's not there, just like He said He was not there. But more than that, come this morning and see that He's not there, so that He could be here. Right where we are. Right where we need Him. His Spirit abides in us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is joy and there is peace. If you're here this morning listening, seeing, and you're not a believer, the angel invites you. And I invite you. God invites you to come and to see. Come and see the place where He was laying. But He's not there. He's not there because He is risen. And if you this morning by faith would believe and trust in Him, He will be right here for you, ready to forgive you and to take away the final fear that will confront every living human being, the fear of death. I am here this morning, Jesus says. You do not have to be afraid. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for that empty grave, but we are thankful more that He is here. Our testimony as believers is not tied up in the worship of an empty tomb. Our testimony as believers is tied up in the worship of a risen Savior. He is alive. He is alive in me. He can be alive in any sinner's life He brings hope. He brings light. He brings life. That's our testimony. The testimony of a risen Savior.
You've been listening to Pastor and Bible Teacher Steve Wilson of Grace Community Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We trust you've been encouraged and challenged by this message. If you would like to listen to more of Pastor Wilson's messages or obtain more information on the ministry of Grace Community Church, you can go to our website at gccbg.com. That's gccbg.com. Or call 270-781-2595.